Welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. I'm Steve Hunt. Jean Paul will be back next week. Today we'll be talking about Cyrano Theatre Company's production of La Bête by David Hairston. And our guest today is director of the show, Bill Fabry. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Thank you. Nice to be here again.
This show, La Bête, is a little unusual in the sense that it is a throwback. That's the wrong word to use, but explain what I'm
it's
trying to
homage,
say.
It's an homage, I think, to Molière and the style of writing, which is in couplets and in rhyme.
So the play itself is written in couplets and in rhyme.
Yes. Yeah.
How challenging is that for, of course, actors today are not necessarily used to that style of acting anymore. And that's one of the charms of this play, as I understand. So,
yes. Yeah. And it's very clever. It's wonderfully written. I'm having so much more fun than I ever have on a play. It's written with this rhyme, and of course you try to fight the rhyme and you observe the commas and you make it sound like natural speech. And I think that's been, not a challenge, but it's been a nice return to, you know, what we studied in college when I did Molière. And really, I haven't done any play like this since. So it was nice that I got this opportunity to come back to a style that, you study, but you rarely have a chance to perform. And right. Then as a director, of course, I've never directed this until this production.
Right. And you mentioned the playwright Molière, and we can't talk about this play without mentioning the great playwright of the French neoclassical period, the great comedy writer Molière. Talk a little bit about Molière and his influence on this play.
Yeah. The character in the show is called Elomir, which is an anagram for Molière. And he places himself within the play, and it's just written in the style of that period, even though it has modern colloquialisms and style. I saw both productions, both in 1991 when it opened and 2011 with the revival with David Hyde Pierce and Joanna Lumley. And they presented it in two very different ways. The first time was very modern, and the second was much more classical.
And that first production didn't go over very well.
No, it didn't. Well, it did win Tony Awards, I think 5, and then it went to London and it was a huge hit there and won the Olivier Awards in London. So it was well received, but New York wasn't ready for it. It didn't have any stars attached to the show. And so when they revived it, they hired Joanna Lumley and David Hyde Pierce, which were huge audience attraction. So that helped ticket sales. But they also made a few changes. They had a prince in the original production and a princess in the second. And for me and for my money, I think that using a princess works better with her relationship with Elomir or Molière, since he was appointed court playwright.
Right. Well, give us a little bit of the plot of the play. What sort of happens in this play?
Well, what happens is the princess finds this wonderful street performer, Valère, who's very outlandish and crude, but he's funny, and she really finds his talent rewarding, and she likes it. And she's been tired, I think, of Elomir's productions. So she thought, well, I'll just combine these two people, and perhaps the sum of the whole expression? Some of the parts
some of the
become whole.
Yeah, right.
So when you put the two together, she's going to have a spectacular acting troupe and comedy troupe.
Right. So you're putting two contrasting sort of styles together on
stage. Yeah, and of course, both people clash, mostly Elomir, because he's so devoted to his art and truth and the words and the rhyme, and he doesn't want his work to be dumbed down with a street musician, a street performer, a clown.
Right. You mentioned that there are some contemporary references in the play. Is the play set in the time period of Molière, or are these creative anachronisms?
It's suggested in the period of Molière. Our costumes are not exact. They weren't meant to be. It's kind of a crossover, since David Hairston is a 20th century writer, but he's writing in the style of Molière. There's, 300-year gap there. And we're trying to combine those 300 years in the look, the feel, and the presentation.
It reminds me somewhat
and
of
costume,
the
costume. Yes,
it reminds me somewhat of the play *Lion in Winter*. When you're talking about the play, it takes place in 1183 England, but there are a lot of modern references, and that makes it
palpable for a modern audience's
yes.
a palette.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be foreign to most audiences.
Right. And you said a moment ago that the revival included some of the name actors that we've known, very popular actors today. And mm-hmm. it seems like you've created this show with some of the more popular comedic actors in Anchorage. I know there's some wonderful actors who are in the show. Go through some of the names of the people who were in the show.
I've been blessed with some of the, I think, the best the creme de la creme, we're calling it, of Anchorage actors who are all talented in their own right, and I would put them up against a New York actor anytime. They just chose to have other jobs and live in Alaska,
right?
Which
right.
I'm thinking about myself. But our stars, the four that really head the show, are Mark Robicoff, Dick Reichman, David Haynes, and Jill Bess.
And so those four actors really, I'm sure, are causing some sparks to fly on stage.
The chemistry is wonderful because they all know each other. They not necessarily have worked with each other, or they've never acted together on stage. One directed, one was the actor. So pulling them together is wonderful because they do have this chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Well, for those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk, and we're talking with Bill Fabry, who is the director of Cyrano's Theater Company's production of La Bête, which opens tonight. And we're talking about the show and the fact that it's an homage to a certain time period and some of the actors in that show. So you mentioned a moment ago about the costumes, and you're not really trying to make it historically accurate, but what's the set like? What do we get when we walked into the theater? What are we going to see?
Well, the concept, which was mine, was to have Molière's scripts in French as if they had been spilled out on the floor. And so the whole back wall is what you would see if the scripts, these pages, were thrown out on the floor. And it going basic, I think, was the important thing because the words are the most important thing about this play. So really, that's when you walk in, you see some period chairs, table, a feather quill, inkwell that kind of help us define the period, and then this wall of wonderful script material.
Mm-hmm. Right. When you speak of Molière, one cannot help but think of wordplay and also some physicality, too. Mm-hmm. Do you have any physicality, more physical theater in this production, or is it more the wordplay?
No, there's a lot of physicality going on, and I think this is really helpful since I had a lot of work with Mozart and Rossini. It's very musical, and a lot of the staging is with beats, and so, you know, you step forward, one, two, back, three, four, and all that comic timing is very important in the show.
That's interesting you should bring that up because I know you are a director of opera as well, and
yes.
you're very much involved with musicality of plays, and plays are music in terms of the language, and of course Molière as well.
Yeah.
You've mentioned that briefly here, but are you really bringing in your your musical background to the show and sort of directing it as a...
Well, I think my musical background helps to go forward with this play. At first, when I got a phone call and said, are you interested in directing this? I thought, oh, I don't know. This is kind of something that's been a long... You know, I haven't done this style in a long time. And then I read through the script and I thought, wow, this is very musical in its mm-hmm. in its speech and its direction and movement. And I thought, okay, this is great. I think we can bring all those elements together
mm-hmm.
and put the show together. And I think having seen both productions, you have the information to come forward and present it in the way that you think it should be presented. I mean, both productions were wonderful, mm-hmm. but they had their flaws in each production.
Right. And as we know, every production is unique to the people who are involved in producing
yes.
it. And so you've
yeah.
brought your own touch to this. And I'm sure the actors you mentioned.
And they bring so much.
Right.
They
right.
have a bag of tricks.
Right, right. Yes, I think we all know they have their bag of tricks. We've seen these people on stage quite a few times.
Yes.
Well, what's been your biggest challenge with this show?
Well, getting all the lines down word for word. There are, on paper, it reads easy. But when you get it up on its feet, there are two conversations going on at the same time at two different sides of the stage. And of course, you have to end on either the same word or a rhyme. And so getting that synced, which is also kind of musical, has been harder than we thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine. I wonder also, I was going to ask the actors, if I saw one, if this was freeing or challenging in the sense that they, you know, sometimes actors have a hard time memorizing lines verbatim, but when mm-hmm. the lines are so different, sometimes that can be challenging or it could be freeing because it gives you something to work for. Have you found that with your actors?
I think they've all found it a challenge. I think they've all worked really hard on trying to get this, and they're excited about it. I've never seen a group work very well with each other. They're off on the side rehearsing their sequence with lines all the time, which is so gratifying for me. It's just like I don't have to, you know, carry the whip. They're doing it themselves,
<It's always laughs>
which is very helpful, you know.
Yeah, it's always great when actors are actually working on the side without
yes,
having to do
it. Yeah. They've put a lot of time into this.
So what sort of background work did you do? Did you read Molière plays in preparation for this?
Yes, I went back to some of the plays, some that I did in college. I just wanted to get the feel for the language again.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting that the characters in this play were actually the troupe. These people did exist in Molière's troupe in the French court. So it's interesting to have these characters alive on stage because they did originate some of the roles in Tartuffe for mm-hmm. Many of the other plays.
Interesting. Well, Bill, we've come to the end of our show here. I want to thank you so much for being on Stage Talk. And we've been talking about Cyrano Theatre Company's production of La Bête, which is a sort of an homage to Molière and that time period, but just contemporary in its style today, I suppose. Bill, thank you a lot for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And now here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for more events or to post your event, go to alaskapublic.org and click on Community Calendar. Alaska Theater of Youth is offering several classes that run September 14th through the 5th of October, including fairy tale theater, audition preparation, acting and improvisation, and performing Shakespeare. For more information, go to alaskatheaterofyouth.org or call 338-4901. Alaska Fine Arts Academy in Eagle River is offering an evening of mystery murder dinner theater at the American Legion on Old Glen Highway in Chugiak through September the 21st. Curtain times are Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. For tickets and information, go to akfinearts.org or call 694-8909. Valley Performing Arts in Wasilla is presenting the musical Brigadoon by Lerner and Lowe through October the 6th. Curtain times are Friday and Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2. For tickets and information, go to valleyperformingarts.org or call 907-373-0195. Anchorage Community Theater presents And Then There Were None. This Agatha Christie thriller opens September the 20th and runs Thursdays through Sundays through October the 20th, with curtain times at 7 p.m. on Thursday through Saturday and 3 p.m. on Sundays. For more information, contact Anchorage Community Theater at actalaska.org or call 868-4913. And finally, tonight is opening night for Cyrano Theatre Company's production of La Bête by David Hearson. The show runs Thursdays through Saturdays with curtain times at 7 p.m. and Sundays at 3 p.m. through October the 6th. For tickets and more information, go to centertix.net or call 263-ARTS. Well, that's it this week for Stage Talk. If you'd like to download free podcasts of Stage Talk, please visit our website at alaskapublic.org. Until next time, I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life Informed. This is Alaska Public Media.